Pretty sure he had the wrong microphone and it wasn't going through my ears at all. I didn't know what was going on. I was like, Mom, you're just going to have to sing with your lips so I can see exactly where we're at in this song. Because I had no idea when we were going to be stopping. It's not a problem in the middle of the song. It's an issue of starting and stopping at the same time. If that's what you want to do. And listen, you aspiring musicians out there, you need to stop at the same time. That's an important thing. Okay, so before we get started this morning, I need to give you my credentials. McKinley, this is not in the notes, so I'm sorry. But I need to give you my credentials. Here are my credentials. They're not great credentials. I want to let you know. They're not great credentials, but I'm not lying on my resume. My resume says this. I have been a parent for 13 and a half years, roughly 13 and a half years. I have been a funcle for about 5 and a half years. That was supposed to be a joke. We're going to have to loosen up a little here, folks. This morning is going to be rough, okay? So let's see if we can. There we go. That's better. Okay. For about 5 and a half years. I spent 5 years as a teacher, and then I spent about 10 or 11 years working with kids in sports programs, ball program, you know, after schools type stuff, all of that. So I am not the expert. That's what I'm trying to get to. I'm not the expert. I got a little bit of experience, not as much as some of you guys, but I do have a little bit of experience, but I'm certainly not the expert on the topic that we're talking about this morning, which is a topic when you walked in this morning, you probably, when you heard maybe that we were doing a series about parenting in the month of September, you probably were a little bit excited. More than likely, especially if you have kids or if you have grandkids or you're thinking about having kids or you know someone that has kids or you might be connected to a kid in any way possible. I think that covers everybody because let's face it, raising little humans is hard work, right? It's hard work. There's a lot of pressure. There are a lot of opportunities to make mistakes. There's a lot of opportunities to do something, say something, look in the mirror later on and look at yourself and go, you're an idiot, right? I've done it. It's a lot of opportunities to make mistakes. If I were in your shoes, walking into a church, a worship theater, hearing that we were going to be talking about raising parents, I probably would have expected a series of checklists, right? Some checklists, some do's, some don'ts, some boxes to check, some boxes not to check, basically concerning the secrets and the mysteries of how to raise good humans. That's what I would be looking for if I were you. Tips, tricks, boxes. Do this, don't do that. The best psychology, maybe, right? The most modern way of thinking when it comes to raising little humans, little kids. It's maybe the reason you bought the ticket for today, right? Which you're going to get what you paid for, I promise. Because this stuff matters. It really does. It matters. And we know that it matters. In fact, we know that this is one of the most important jobs that we have if we are a parent or a grandparent, or we might want to be a parent one day, or we know somebody that is a parent, or we know somebody's kids. And right? This is important. And we know that it's important. We know that we need help when it comes to raising good humans. I've already told you that I've been raising a little human, not as little anymore, for 13 and a half years. And it's difficult. It's exhausting. I mean, just look at me. I'm 24 years old. Right? You had no idea, did you? Yeah. It's hard. It's exhausting. I'm not. That math. Doesn't math all that well. Anyone here with, and I can't really see you well, so you don't have to raise your hand, but toddlers, right? You got toddlers, or you remember when you had toddlers. What is it that happens to kids when they're about 2 years old? That they just turn into like little T-Rexes running around with long arms. I mean, it's just, it's crazy what happens to kids when they're toddlers. Diapers are kind of still a thing. We're trying for them not to be a thing, but they are still a thing, and they want them to be a thing, and it's this thing, right? It's exhausting. It's a battle, tantrums all the time. My niece, Carly, she is in the I do it stage, right? Y'all know that one. I do it. Everything. It's like, you can't do it. You can't do it. But I do it. Overstimulated. Me, not them. Not me. I'm overstimulated. Have you ever woken up to a toddler literally scaling a wall? I have. Yeah. Yeah. Rachel. She can do this Batman thing where she just like gets in the hallway and she just shimmies up the wall. It's wild. Have you ever woken up to a toddler standing at the side of your bed saying, I trode up in your bed, right? Absolutely. I have. You have. We have. The point I'm trying to make, it's exhausting. It's exhausting. Raising good little humans, little kids can be very discouraging, right? Anybody at the stage where kids are starting school? Okay, that's where my brother and my sister-in-law are right now. Kindergarten. Woo, it's rough. You remember those days? Are they making friends? Are they getting along? Assemblies every single week, it felt like. There was always an assembly. You know, you had a book fair was coming up. You had ball games to attend. Fundraisers. These people are the cookie dough pushers of our generation. Everybody's trying to sell cookie dough. I'm so sick of buying the cookie dough. I'm not buying the cookie dough, y'all. Don't ask. When somebody comes up with a fundraiser that's me paying you for me not to have to buy cookie dough, I'm in. Buy the cookie dough. Overstimulated. Me, not them. Stomach virus. Rachel, where's your field trip form? I know I gave you your field trip form. I signed it and I put it in your backpack. It's discouraging. Raising humans is frustrating. It's frustrating. It is. Attitudes. Eye rolling. Heavy sighs. What to wear? What not to wear? What never to wear? 6'7". Yeah, how am I? Yeah, right. Oh, my mama! It's constant. It's exhausting. Making the team, missing the cut, riding the bench. It's all stuff, man. Homework, tests. Because now it's starting to count, right? Now they tell you it goes on your permanent record and you're going to be on your deathbed one day and they're going to ask, how'd you do in ninth grade algebra one? I guess. I don't know. That's what they... It's such a big deal. It's exhausting. Because they need a good start. What if they miss this? What if they miss that? Driving test. Anybody there? I'm there. We are doing... When did the driving test book get so big? Oh, my goodness. This thing is huge. Overstimulated. Me. Not them. Dad. What are the three Pythagorean theorems? I'm like, I didn't even know the Pythagorean. Who is this we're talking about? I don't even know what we're talking about anymore. So, with that being said, let's all kind of take a deep breath, right? Me too. Because it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Please, somebody tell me it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay, right? It's going to be okay. This series is less about steps. It's less about boxes to check. It's less about do's and don'ts and the latest psychology on how to raise kids. And it's more about a big picture. It's more about kind of going up 30,000 feet, looking down. It's more of a view of parenting from God's perspective as best we can. It's similar to what we did in the marriage series back in the summer. It's kind of this big gospel parenting worldview that I believe a perspective that can change everything. In fact, what we're talking about this morning, if we will kind of take it and apply it, I believe, and we're going to kind of talk about it every week in the series, I really believe that it's going to make a huge difference in the way we parent, myself included, which on that note, on a personal note, this material has actually already made a difference in the way that I parent, I think, I hope. We've kind of been working through this series for several months now, and so it's made a difference for me. So, regardless of where you find yourself on the spectrum of raising little people, little humans, you know, kids, whether your kids are little, toddlers, little fellows, babies, middle size, you know, bigger, maybe you've already raised your kids, and now you're watching them raise, so you raise their kids, and so you're kind of like grand raising kids, you know, or whether you think one day you might want to raise kids, one day you think that's a possibility, or if someone that you know is currently raising kids or, you know, wants to raise kids, I think, again, that covers everybody. Regardless of where you're at on this journey, this covers all of us, and this changes everything. I truly believe that. Because for some of us, this is going to be a new way of thinking when it comes to parenting. It's going to be a different perspective in the way that we see the different things that we face as parents trying to raise kids. Because we all want to be good. You know, I want to be good at this. I think this is one of the most important things that I get to do as a person. I want to be a good person, a good human. I want to raise good people, good humans. And at the end of the day, the way I think about it, these are my kids. You know, these are my children after all. And so since they're my children, that means that I am compelled to raise my children the way that I think I should raise my children. And that is a very common way to look at it. Probably many of us, you might even be shaking. Yeah, that's right. It's your kids. You raise them the way you want to raise them. Don't. because that's pretty typical. That's a pretty typical perspective on the topic. But this is one of the things that I'm learning. This is one of my first major issues when it comes to the way that I raise my kids, because I've been looking at my role as the parent, I believe, incorrectly. I see myself, and most people do, we see ourselves as what we're calling in this series, ownership parents. Ownership parents. And here's what an ownership parent sounds like and looks like. An ownership parent sounds like, these children, this kid is mine. She is mine. He is mine. They are my kids. And I am going to parent my children the way that I want to parent them, so that they will become and what it is that I want them or maybe need them to be for possibly me. And while, yes, you're right, they are your kids, you have been given the responsibility by God to raise these particular children, that really doesn't tell the whole story. In fact, it only scratches the surface on the story, which I think from the very start, you can see how maybe for many of us, without actually meaning to or intending to, our parenting style has naturally taken a path that follows our natural instincts as people. Now, here's what I mean by that. Our natural instincts as people are, I'm the boss. Right? I'm the boss. I'm the one that's in charge. I'm the one that makes the rules. I am the judge, the jury. I'm the executioner. I am all of those things, me in my life. And, you know, I've made this statement to my daughter. I'm not going to tell you which one, the oldest one. Recently, I have made the statement, as I had this statement made to me when I was younger, and you probably as well. My house, my rules. My house, my rules. Sorry, it's the way that it is. And that's a true statement. I don't want to say that that's not a true statement, but our natural instincts are to move in the direction of, I'm in charge and I'm the boss, which probably without intending to is actually maybe leading our children in a direction away from God. Because let's face it, every decision we make is either moving us toward God or it's moving us away from God. It's not really, it's hard to be neutral in this area. Because at its core, this idea of I'm the one that is in charge is actually connected to our problem of sin. It's connected to our problem of rebellion, which is connected to our problem with not liking authority. What I mean by that is this. We parent from a vision of what it is that we want for our children and, in many cases, what it is that we want or need from our children. Because that feels right and that seems right. Because, let's face it, I'm in charge. I'm the boss. And listen, I want to be clear. There's been some really good people that have been really good humans raised with that mentality, with that plan. I'm not being completely critical of that. But ultimately, when we think about it from the perspective shift that we're talking about this morning, it's actually a misguided perspective. And more often than not, it actually doesn't produce what it is that God's looking for, which again has to come to the question of who's in charge, the authority. So if we're going to begin in a place where we raise our children to become what it is that God intended them to be, not what it is that I want for them or from them, but what God wants for them and from them, we're going to have to reevaluate this a little bit, I think. And I think that's probably pretty obvious. Because good parenting, to produce what it is that God wants, not what it is that I want, and not what it is that I think they need. Good parenting to produce what it is that God wants means that we're going to have to actually humble ourselves in a big way. Humbling ourselves, admitting my children, while they are mine and while they are my responsibility, they do not belong to me. They don't belong to me. Not me, my, and mine, his. They're his. Because every child in every home, as with all things, belong to the God that created them. In fact, that is exactly what David writes in the 24th Psalm. Now, David's writing it in a very general way. He's kind of like a huge swath that's encompassing everything, which includes our kids, includes our children. They're God's, created for God's purpose. 24th Psalm, a Psalm of David, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all of its people belong to him. It's all his, which means by connection, means that if they belong to God, they can't belong to me. Just like I didn't belong in this way to my parents, I'm not the owner. So what are we, right? What are we? So if I'm not the owner, if everything's God's and everything is to be for God's purpose and God's purposes, then what exactly am I, right? I've got to be something. You've got to be something in your children's life. Well, that's what we're unpacking today. If I'm not the owner, in the relationship. What am I? Because according to Scripture, we actually do have a very special, distinct role to play for the owner of our children, which we've already established according to the 24th Psalm, is God. We have a very distinct, important, and significant role to play in the lives of our children for the owner of our children, for God, remembering God is the owner. And that specialist distinct role is I am a representative of the owner. Not the owner, but I represent the owner in the life of my children. I am. It's like this. This is McKinley, not in my notes. So I'm going off a little bit here, but I remember when my kids started going to school. I wanted to be, just personally, I wanted to be so involved in their lives inside of that school that when a teacher or an administrator or someone, anyone in that school, when they would look at my child, they would see me. You know what I mean? Like they would see me. And not that straightforward, and I know there's some holes in that philosophy. It's just, that's how connected. So in a similar way, while God is the owner, when I'm his representative, meaning that when my kids look at me, I just want them to see God as the owner. Not God as their God, but God as the one that is really in charge. That's a little sideways, but I think it's going to make more sense as we move forward. The Bible actually uses a very specific word for this representative position in the lives of our children. And it's the word ambassador. Ambassador. So not ownership parents, but ambassador parents. Because every single one of us know exactly how an ambassadorship works. We know that by design, an ambassador does not represent themselves. The ambassador does not represent what it is that they want. The ambassador does not represent what it is that they are hoping to get from the relationship or for the relationship. That's not the way an ambassadorship works. The ambassador represents the one that sent them. We know that. We understand that. So by implication, an ambassador actually is not representing themselves at all. The ambassador in the relationship is actually representing the message, the methods, and the character of the leader, the sender, who entrusted them with that responsibility. They don't speak for themselves. They speak for whoever's really in charge. Because they're not in charge. They have some authority because when the ambassador speaks, it's just like the one that's in charge is speaking when there's a symbiotic relationship. But at the end of the day, the ambassador is speaking only what the owner or the leader, the one that's in charge, wants to be spoken, representing his or her character and methods and message. You kind of see where this leads, this very small perspective change. Do you see how it kind of changes the way that we parent? And it may be the way that you've been parenting your whole life, which if so, great. That is awesome. That is awesome. Do you see how this very simple change in thinking alters that parent-child relationship even to a certain degree? Because as God's ambassador, I'm not free to do things my way, even if I want to. Because I do want to. That is a natural instinct for me. I want to do it my way, which is the right way in my world. But that's not the way an ambassadorship works. I'm not free to do things my way. Because I cannot act independently because the ambassador in the relationship doesn't act independently. Every word that is spoken, every decision that is made as an ambassador has to be shaped first and foremost by one question. What's the will and the plan of the one that sent me? What is the will and the plan of the one that gave me the responsibility of being the ambassador in the life of this little person, this human? That's the question that matters, not my interests and not what I want for or from the relationship, not how my perspective or my power is going to be altered or changed or upgraded or downgraded or whatever the case may be. Because if I am doing anything from my power, my perspective, or my purposes, I actually am stealing something that doesn't belong to me. It's not mine. So that's kind of our starting place. How every parent on earth has been placed on earth at a specific time in Earth's history for a very specific purpose, a very specific ambassadorial work in the lives of our children to do God's will. And this, I believe, simple reorganization of roles can change the way that we think about parenting. It has me, because it's no longer what I want for them or what I want for them or what I need, in some cases, from them. It can't be about that. It has to be, what is it that God has planned to do through us and in our children. That's the perspective shift that I hope you really latch onto this morning. And it's when I misunderstand my position in this succession of authority from, you know, me being the ambassador of God, the actual owner, to me saying it's my way or the highway, and absolutely zero thought to what the purposes and the message and the character of God comes into the equation. It's when I get this succession of authority messed up that I actually end up with a relationship that's not God's design, and it never was. Because it becomes more about advancing my will and my way, not about the will and the way of the sovereign King of creation. And listen, again, I want to be clear. I kind of gave you my resume a little bit before we got started. Well, I also want to give you this part of my resume. I've blown it. I've had 13 and a half years of opportunities, and I've blown it several times. And I could give you some specific examples of times that I have blown it. I'm not going to, because I don't want to feel bad. But I could. I could. I've blown it. I have been more of an ownership parent many, many times in these 13 and a half years. I have been determined in many times in my life that I'm going to produce good kids the way that I think they should act and react and interact, because they're me, they're my responsibility. It's my responsibility. I've been determined to see my will be done, and I have very much hijacked my God-given role as an ambassador in the relationship instead of acting in succession and in connection to the true owner, God. I've done that. And I think if many of us are honest, we would have to say that even the best of us have probably done this. Because again, it's so natural, right? It just seems to go so in line with my natural reaction to want to be the one in charge and in authority and the boss of everything in my life. It just comes down to that simple question. Who's in charge? Am I the boss? Is this my kingdom? And if so, that's rebellion, because God's the boss. And it's his kingdom. He's the king of the kingdom. And sin is what it is that makes me want to be the owner instead of the ambassador for the true owner. Sin is the thing that's making me demand and talk, react, threaten, not pay attention, whatever. I mean, it's the sin that's inside of me. Sin is what makes me force my agenda as opposed to representing God and God's agenda. Why? Because I'm the boss. My way or the highway, in fact. You're going to live under my house. You're going to live by my rules. Well, if my rules happen to be aligned with God's rules, okay. But I'm still just the ambassador. Because that, listen, at its core, this is really just a control issue. As all sin is, just a control issue. It just circles around who's in charge, who's the boss. And I know, man, many of us are tempted to hear this. I might be tempted to hear this if I were sitting in your seat. We're tempted to hear this and say, no, I'm pretty sure I'm an ambassador, more of an ambassador than an owner. I think I'm, and that's again, if that's you, that is awesome. I know that this happens. I know it does. I'm just telling you my story. It hasn't always been that way. It hasn't always been the case. But I do think, regardless of where you think you fall in this spectrum, I think if you'll continue connecting with us over the next 3 weeks after today, I think what you might, and if you'll come every week with an open mind and an open heart, to just say, you know, God, you just move however you see fit. I think all of us might see how in different ways we struggle with this. We struggle to want to be the one that's in charge. And we struggle with wanting to be the one that has absolute, total, abject control, you know, the king of the household, the king of the kingdom. And that's the reason we said that our starting place has to be humility, saying, I'm not the one in charge. I'm just an ambassador to the one that really is. So I've actually got some really good news for you. Because remember, we started this morning, we were talking about how exhausting and how discouraging and you know, how raising kids can be. And I think we all agree that it can be all of that. It can be all amazing as well. It's not all bad, obviously. It's amazing. It's the greatest thing I've ever done. But the good news is, even though it is exhausting and it's discouraging and it's all of those things, you and I actually have never been given the burden that comes with ownership of our children. We've never been given that burden of ownership. That burden actually lies with God as the owner. So that means you and I, really, in terms of the practical application of what this means when we go to our Monday and our Tuesday and our Wednesday and getting our kids up in the morning and making sure that they brush their teeth and they comb their hair and they're wherever you happen to be in your child's life, making sure that they're wearing school-appropriate clothes or whatever it is, it means that Our responsibility in the relationship is simply to represent God, representing his message, his methods, and his character. And God, the true owner, is the one that's inviting me. Think about the significance of what it is that we actually are as parents. I mean, what it really means. We have a tendency to think about it. I have a tendency to think about it in really kind of very practical, rudimentary terms. But as parents, God, as the owner of everything, according to David in the 24th Psalm, is actually inviting you and inviting me to get to be an invited part of what it is that he is doing in the lives and the hearts of our kids. We get to play a role. So it's like this beautiful relationship where I'm not the owner and I'm not the one that gets to make every single decision every single day in absolute, total, abject control. But at the same time, I've got a role to play in the lives and the future of my kids, because not because of my birth order, not because of some biological reason. No, according to Scripture, it's because God has invited me into that relationship. So I want to encourage us, as we're kind of starting to wrap it up here, to stop trying to raise good humans. Because it's exhausting. And it is discouraging. And it is frustrating. And it is overstimulating. For me. Not for them. It's not our burden. It's not our burden. We have a different role. Not the owner, but the ambassador to the true owner. So, in the last few minutes we have, let's kind of talk about what this means. What's the practical Monday morning application to this? Something that we can do as God's Spirit continues to transform us more and more into the one that we're following, Jesus. First, as we talked about, humbling ourselves, admitting we're not the owner, we're just the ambassador. And then, continuing to take a deep look at ourselves and answering this question: what do I value? So, this changes the topic just a little bit, but what is it that I value? Do you remember how in this past spring, I think it was in April and May, we worked through Matthew chapter 6, and we talked about, in a couple of those weeks, we talked about how Jesus explained to us how we can truly know what it is that we really value in life, what it really is the high priority in our life. And we talked about how, because everything that we do every day and everything that we say is driven by trying to get what it is that we value most. So if you value most this relationship, then everything you say and everything you do is probably going to drive you in that direction. Or if what you value most is making money and being successful and rising the chain of the corporate ladder, then everything you do is probably going to move you in that direction. So with that in mind, the way that we speak and the way that we behave actually is simply the way that we are trying to get what it is that we value most from people. Some would call that manipulation. I'm not, but kind of is. Just trying to get what we value, what it is that's important to us. And anything that I value more than I value God, anything, no matter how good that thing might be, it begins to be in charge of my heart. It begins to rule my heart. That's what we talked about in the spring. And I'm kind of chopping it up a little bit, trying to work through a whole series in like four statements. But the point is, thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of children go home every single day from labor and delivery for the very first time to parents, myself included, whose values are a little bit distorted. A little distorted. What it is that we really value and that we prioritize, and what it is that we do and say and act and react in order to get what it is that we value. But once life begins at conception, God's plan has to become the purpose of the parent ambassador. If I'm truly an ambassador for the owner, that means I represent the owner, meaning that God's plan has to be what is absolutely infatuating my heart from a perspective of what it is that I value most. Because I am God's representative in the life of my children. And that's a heavy thought. And it is for me anyway. It's a heavy thought that God has called me to do this. But he's also equipped me to do it. In fact, and when we're going to get to this very, very quickly, I promise, the fact that you're here today, if you have kids and they're connected with us in 252 First Look or the nursery this morning, God's equipped you. He has. I'm going to show you how. But very quickly, consider this from the Old Testament. This is Moses writing what it is that God's Spirit leads him to write, speaking directly to the nation of Israel, the Hebrews, Deuteronomy chapter 6. This is the Shema. This is the Shema. This is something that you actually heard Jesus repeat in the New Testament. Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God and the Lord alone. And you must love, here we go, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. Jesus literally quotes this in the Old Testament. Now, Jesus adds another layer to it, which we're not talking about this morning, because it's a little sideways, but it's called the Shema. It's the Jewish Shema. In other words, this is the absolute most important thing in your life. If you value nothing else, you must value this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, all your time, all your energy, all your resources, everything. Love God first. Best, period. And then it goes on to say this in verse 6, saying you must commit yourself wholeheartedly to these commandments that I'm giving you today. In other words, it can't be a one-off. It can't be a do this today and don't worry about it tomorrow. No, Moses says, hey, this is every day. This is every single day, every moment by moment, decision by decision, choice by choice. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Period. End of discussion. And you've got to practice this every day because it's not natural. What's natural? I'm in charge. Love me with all my heart and all my soul and all my mind. Moses says, you want to do this? You want to get this right? Every day. Never stops. Then, and this is where we really want to sit down for the last couple of minutes. Repeat them. Listen, verse 7. Repeat them. So repeat this. What? Repeat what? The Shema. Love your Lord, your God, all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. Repeat this again and again and again. And I'm going to add again and again and again and again. Why? Because they're just like you and they want to be in charge of their own life and it's all about them. So again and again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home. And when you're on the road, and when you're going to bed, and when you're getting up, talk to them about this at bedtime, and at bath time, and at playtime, and at drive time. Talk to them about it between the hours of 6 and 7. You old people didn't get that, but your kids did. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. They actually literally did that. That was literally a Hebrew thing. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. This is so important, Moses says. And then a few verses later, he explains why. Okay, listen, y'all. So practical. So practical. He explains why. He says, here's why you got to do it. Here's why you got to do it. And listen, some of you are like, yeah, he's right. He says, here's why you got to do this. Because in the future, here's what's going to happen. In the future, your children are going to ask you. They're going to go, what is the meaning of these laws and decrees and regulations that the Lord our God has commanded us to obey? What's this all about? I mean, because they're looking for the reality of their story and they're trying to get the answers from the only people that they can get the answers to, which, oh, that really works out well because it just so happens to be the ambassador that God has placed in their lives for him as the owner. What's this all about? Mom? Dad? They're going to ask you, Moses says. And then you must tell them. Now, Moses is going to get very specific about the history of the nation of Israel. He's saying, you know, tell them about our story. And he's going to go into some very specific things. He says, well, we were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with his strong hand. The Lord did miraculous signs and wonders before our eyes, dealing terrifying blows against Egypt and Pharaoh and all his people. He brought us out of Egypt so that he could give us the land that he swore to give our ancestors. So again, this is Moses being very specific in his time to his people, their context, their history. They're going to ask you questions, and you're the ambassador of the owner. Tell them every chance you get. When you're on the road and before you go to bed and when you're sitting down to eat supper and getting ready to brush your teeth, tell them all about it. So listen, let's not overthink this. We have a tendency to overthink things. People like me standing in places just like that have a tendency to over-spiritualize things. Make it very, very ooey-gooey spiritual and try to get some kind of, it's just to make us feel smart, that's all. And I'm not very smart. So let's don't over-spiritualize it. Daddy, where do we come from? Where do we come from? That's all that is. That's not some kind of a big, deep concept. Daddy, what's our story? Daddy, tell me about what it was like when you were a boy. Anybody ever get asked that? Sure they have. Daddy, what was grandma like? Where'd you live? What'd you do? Tell me about us. I want to understand who I am and where I come from. And maybe, just maybe, understand what my purpose is. Every one of us enjoy those conversations with our children. I know you do. I do. I love those conversations. We'll dive into those topics with excitement and with transparency and authenticity and honesty. God values the ambassador parent's role, because the ambassador parent, every opportunity they get, in addition to answering those questions, the ambassador parent is taking every opportunity that they can to tell their children about their Creator, God, Sovereign King. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your spirit. You, think about this. You, as a parent, are His choice to accomplish this very important task in the lives of your children. Grandparents, you too. So, as the main, constant, consistent, faithful tool in the hands of the owner, God, His purpose His purposes of creating these children into be who it is that God has them to be and to submit to Him, He's chosen you as that tool. Daddy, why do we go to church every week? Why do we do that? Not everybody goes to church every week. I don't always want to go. Why do we do that when everyone else doesn't? Mama, why do we pray at bedtime? Why do we always say that silly little rehearsed prayer before we eat? Everybody else got that, one of those? Of course you did. Why do we do that, Mama? And that's just an opportunity. God's plan for every human is that we acknowledge Him and we surrender to His authority. And He wants to rule in the hearts of every person that has ever lived. And your children are included in that. And if they are not supremely aware of God, how will they ever submit to Him as their King? This is not the job of your church, okay? Not our job. We can join you, and we want to. We can come alongside you. We can lock arms with you. We can be a part of this with you. But we can't replace you. You've got to be the lead. This isn't the job of the government. Hey, they can make it safe for us to do this, or they can also make it unsafe for us to do this, but it remains my responsibility as the ambassador in the life of my children for the actual owner. School can't replace you in this. This is the greatest work that we can do. God puts children in our lives so that they can know Him, know about His existence, know about His character, know about His plan. And although Scripture tells us very clearly that creation points humanity to the existence of God and there's no excuses, absolutely. Your children, just like you, by the way, my children, just like me, are born with the life-altering ability to look at the world around us and go, nah, I don't think so. And if we don't acknowledge God, we'll never be the person that God designed us to be. In fact, if we don't acknowledge God, what we will become and what our children will become is the center of their own little world, where the world is about them. Because children, just like adults, that do not acknowledge God as their King, as their boss, as their authority, become the kings of their own little kingdoms. In Deuteronomy, Moses highlighted God's plan for ambassador parents. So, parents, I just want to encourage you. Next step this morning, I want to encourage you. If you haven't already started doing that in the life of your children, start today. Because the very grace that God has poured over you, He wants to pour into the lives of your children. So our next step today is very simple. We want you to do exactly what Moses said to the Hebrews to do for their children in Deuteronomy chapter 6. We want you to take every opportunity that you can this week to introduce God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Every opportunity that you possibly can. When you're playing, talk about it. When introduce Him when you're walking. When you go for that, you know, ladies, anybody else, wife, go for a hot girl walk in the afternoon? That's what my wife calls it. She says, I'm going for my hot girl walk. When you go for your hot girl walk, ladies, take your kids with you and talk to them about it. They'll walk with you for a minute or two, then they'll go home. But you get a minute or two out of it. When you're baking, when you're mowing, I don't know about the mowing part. It might be hard to see. But the point is, introduce them to God. He's opened your eyes so that you can then be used as a tool to open the eyes and the hearts of your children. It is every day in these little, small, mundane, overlooked tasks that we have the opportunity to help them understand and recognize and acknowledge and submit to God. It's not the big moments. It's the little ones. It's the consistency. This is for the baby. It's for the toddler. It's for the teenager. It's for all of us. Nothing is more important than this. Nothing should be valued in the hearts and the minds of parents more than this. Parents, I can't do it for you. We can't do it for you, but we can come alongside you. In fact, it's what we do every single week in our children's ministry. Every week. 252 First Look Nursery even. We want to partner with you in the lives of your children as we teach that they can trust God no matter what. And trust God no matter what. And that they need to make sure that they know how to make the wise choice. The wise choice. And that they should treat others the way that they want to be treated. I want you to think about it. Those are three very powerful topics. And this month, for the month of September, we're taking those three basic truths and we're teaching your children using Scripture about something very simple, something called courage. We're talking about courage. We're talking about how God helps you to be brave enough to do hard things. Anybody ever had to do a hard thing? We're talking about courage and how God can help those kids do hard things. Don't you wish somebody would have really sat down and explained that to you? And to help better explain that, we've got a verse, a memory verse they're learning every single week. It's the 56th Psalm, Psalm 56:3. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. And I can have courage. Because bottom line, God can give you courage even when you don't feel ready. That's today. Bottom line, God can give you courage even when you're not ready. Just like he did for Moses. That was our Bible story for today. Which is really just one piece, one part of God's great big story. That's it. That's what we're talking. We can't do it for you, but we would love to partner with you. And here's how much we want to partner with you. Here's how much we want to help you be an ambassadorial parent. We're giving you material. We're giving you material. Take home every single week for you to help and to work with your kids. We call them parent cues. We haven't always done this. We've always given you the online option. We're giving you the paper version starting this week. It's called the Parent Cue. When you leave this morning, when you pick your kids up, the teachers are going to be standing at the doors. They're going to be handing you these pieces of paper, a little about this big. So that when drive time and bedtime and meal time and bath time and play time comes around, you've got some cues to help you have some conversations with your kids. Talk about God. Maybe talk about one time that you tried something new. You had to have courage. How'd it work out? Maybe it's going to cue a conversation. So when you pick your kids up in 252 and First Look today, get one of those. Use it this week. Make a difference. Band's working their way up here. The other thing you can do, that little piece of paper is going to give you a QR code to download the Parent Cue app. You can literally have all that information on your phone. It's a great tool. So that, and here's the reason why, and this is, I'm done. So that when your kids come up to you, and they ask you questions. They say, Daddy, Mama, what is the meaning of all of the stuff that we do every week that the people around me don't necessarily do? The way Moses wrote it, what's the meaning of these laws, decrees, and regulations that the Lord our God has commanded us to do? When they walk up to you and they say, hey, why? What are we doing? Why do we do it this way? Why do we not do it the way that they do it down the street? Hey, your church wants to partner with you so that we can have those answers, so that we can consistently tell them those answers, why it is that we do what we do, not because I'm the one that's in charge, and not because I want to do it, or not because I think I should do it, but because this is what I have been given the responsibility to do in your life as God's ambassador. Let's pray. God, we give you the last few minutes. We give you the previous few minutes. We give it all to you. Help us to be ambassadors in the lives of our children so that they can become the people that you have always planned for them to be. And it's in your son's name that we ask these things. Amen.